This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
Last night, I had a nightmare. I was standing on this dark stage, like a pretty big stage, and I'm facing like 30 children who are all in some variation of Christmas pajamas, and they are singing in my face as loud as they possibly could. But they're singing a Christmas song, but it's not like any Christmas song, you know. It's a different Christmas song. And my job was to control all the children. I had to tell them where to go and like stop talking and stop screaming, but please sing and stop picking your nose and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? You know what happened in this dream? My guest was there, reminding me not to let the children see me sweat or any fear in my eyes, or they're going to take over. And you know what else? This dream, not really a dream. It was actually a nightmare in real form, because for a very, very brief time, it was 2 years in a row, I was an elf wrangler for a show here in Massachusetts, because I like to torture myself and because my daughter was in the show, and both of us have a long history with this theater. And I thought it might be like a fun mother-daughter bonding experience. And while I'm currently getting through my trauma of it, because I haven't done it in 2 years because there was a pandemic and all that kind of stuff, I'm really happy that I'm able to have that shared experience with my guest and mostly not talk about the Christmas show or wrangling children because of all my PTSD, but to really talk about her expertise in events. So with that, and we'll keep it, how about Christmas show free? Is that cool? Are you good with that? Yes. She's nodding yes. So I am very pleased to introduce my guest today on Speaking of Events, event professional, Susan Chabukchin. Welcome.
Thank you, Carrie. And just for the record, you made an excellent elf mom.
I think I was horrible and I should never have done the job. I understand why I might have been an asset. As I was told by perhaps the artistic director at the time, I'm so glad you're here because you know the difference between stage left and stage right. And I was like, that's it. That's what my 40, almost 40 years of being a professional actor plus my BFA musical theater has come down to, is that I know the difference between stage left and stage right.
The fact that you came back for a second year says a lot, so...
I know.
The things we do for our children, right?
Yes, exactly. Luckily, we've moved on to the Nutcracker. So I hope we're sticking with that for the next 10 years. Susan and I have known each other a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. She knows my in-law family very well, has known them longer than I know them.
And yeah, that's true.
She has also been in the event industry for a very long time in a couple different roles. And so I'm excited to talk to you about that today. Thank you for being here. I appreciate
Thank you. Very excited to join.
Excellent. And as always, my very first question to all my guests is, Susan. Well, I don't always say Susan. I just say Susan because it's you, just FYI. Susan, what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
It's not like planning a birthday party.
Oh.
It's far more complex, and we are timeline driven, and those timelines can't be pushed out like any other project. It is what it is, and you have to stick to your timelines.
I can't push out my birthday party. It's locked in. It is what it is. And there's a tremendous amount of timelines, details. I mean, on average, sometimes you're working larger events. How many timelines, tasks, milestones do you have in an average project, do you think?
Well, I mean, if we were to do a project plan, we would have hundreds, hundreds of lines of items that need to get done. And there are so many dependencies on timelines. So you sometimes you can't complete one task unless two or three others are done beforehand. So you're reliant on a number of other tasks being completed, but also maybe other people who are responsible for those tasks. So it's really about looking at the full work stream and all of the cross-functional teams that you're working with and making sure they're all aligned.
Wow. What's the very first thing? If somebody's like, okay, we're going to have an event. What's as the professional, what's your first question or first couple questions you throw out to get things started?
Well, once we get our team assembled, really sharing with them some of our key milestones. And from there, having everyone really think through what they need to get done and when they need to get that done in order to meet those milestones. And like I said, we really don't have flexibility in pushing an event out by a day or a week. So, you know, sticking to timelines and project commitments is really key. Especially the larger the events, the more cross-functional teams we're working with, it really makes it far more complex and difficult to manage.
Wow. I know it's super stressful. Event industry professionals it's one of the top stressful jobs.
That was Absolutely. Something
I've learned since launching this podcast. And so what do you look for when you're putting together a solid team? What do you look for? What are important parts?
It's really important for, in terms of individuals, for example, it's really important for people to be able to, it's hard to find a combination of someone who can really think strategically, look at the big picture, and really understand that a lot of smaller pieces will impact what they're doing and vice versa. And also someone who's really detail oriented. And it may seem trite to say that, but it's really thinking of every possibility of something that can happen and what you need to do to accomplish your task, and don't make assumptions. I think that's one big key learning from planning events. You can't make assumptions that other people know what you're expecting. And so really making sure that those expectations are clear and really being a strong communicator as well. So really focus on the detailed, really strong communicator. And follow through. Really have to make sure you're working with reliable people.
Yes, for anything.
Absolutely, absolutely.
As you've worked your way up and through this industry, do you think that you started, okay, I'm the detail-oriented person, and now are you more the strategic big thinker? Or do you think...
Yes, I am, but I'm still need to get into the weeds and into the details of everything. So I think having experienced it and been an event planner for so many years, it really helps me to be able to oversee the overall program and think strategically and how it impacts the bottom line at a company. Whether it's an internal sales kickoff meeting or a customer facing event, or potential customer event, it's really important to be able to understand the importance of it and what the important elements are to really drive ROI for those events.
Right. Do you find that it's pretty similar? Like, it's an event. We got to hit these things. Or is it really vastly different depending on the audience, depending on how varying does it get?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are some key elements that are the same, but thinking about your audience, it will really drive a different set of deliverables and things that are important. So you do handle things differently. So I have a lot of project managers, program managers that manage various events. But to put one in from one event to another, the basic requirements are still there, but there's so many different things to really consider because the audiences are different, and what we're delivering, the type of content we're delivering, and how we're doing that definitely makes a big difference. So it's not, it really, no two events really are the same, even the same event year after year. Hopefully we are approaching things differently to raise the bar and, you know, just make it more successful.
Right. Cause it's not, it's just not the Christmas show where we're doing the same thing year after year. That was like, because I came in, I don't know, you had been doing it like 107 years by that time. And I was like, what this is, I am trying to slide into this well-oiled machine. That was a little.
That crazy. Is so true. That is a very well-oiled machine. And that's right. We try to like stick with what we know on that one.
That's good. Yeah. Sometimes you do, like with Christmas shows, want to stick with the what you know. And we both clearly come from a theater background. You have a lot of experience in the theater as a choreographer, as a director, as a dancer, as a performer yourself, correct? Not
yes.
Missing yep, anything.
All of the above. Yes.
So how do you mesh? Where's the mesh for you in terms of passion for the theater and passion for events?
Well, I really do think they're very similar. And it's interesting to me that many of my theater friends are event planners too. And it makes sense. I mean, we are putting on a production, right? So some, you know, maybe in the theater, we may have more liberties to be a little more creative and take some risks. In a corporate environment, we may need to be a little bit more careful about some of those risks and out of the box thinking, but certainly want to apply that. But we still, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of, you know, rehearsals and dry runs. And then coming to this final performance or event, I mean, I feel like it's a very similar pattern. And, you know, being able to think big picture, especially as a director of musicals, you know, need to put all of those elements together, need to pick the right people for the roles, make sure that one scene flows in into another. Same thing with the event, from session to session, making sure that there's flow and continuity and engagement. So I really find that they're very similar, and it's not a surprise to me that so many theater friends are event planners.
Yes, that does not surprise me. The amount of event professionals I talk to that have theater backgrounds is, of course, and this is why I love talking to event people and speaking of events, because it is my people. So I get it. Absolutely. What do you have a favorite type of event?
No, I mean, because they're all different, I do like that change. Certainly sometimes for me, the bigger the event, the more challenging, and of course more stressful, but the bigger the challenge, the more exciting it is to me.
And what's a big event? Like, what's the runway? Are you planning for a year?
Oh, definitely planning for a year. Yes.
Wow.
At minimum.
Right. Which is part of the reason why stuff got so stressful and crazy the past couple of years, because you were probably mid planning or close to something, not knowing the schedule that you had at the time that something was about to launch or jump. And then there was a lot of pivoting. And yep. What was that like for you?
It was difficult. I had just started a new position as well. And we had an event coming up a couple weeks after the pandemic hit. So really transitioning all our physical events into virtual ones. And these are, I manage large scale events. So these aren't small webinars or webcasts with 50 people in them. So it was definitely difficult because we have such, that's why it's so important to have such strong cross-functional teams, and also always have contingency plans. I mean, you really, even for any event, really do need to have contingency plans. There's so many things that happen in the world, and really thinking through those. So we were well equipped. I mean, certainly not prepared. I mean, never in my life did I think we were going to have a pandemic like this. And, you know, my in-person events were all going to be virtual, and kind of treading an area that, you know, I was familiar with and had experience with, but not really my sweet spot at all. So a lot of learnings very quickly.
Absolutely. What was the biggest surprise to you when you had to go virtual?
Some of our smaller events, we decided, well, if we're going to do this virtual, we can do this on a grander scale. So, you know, planning an event at a global level, we had, 40,000 registrants. And that's something we had never done before, something I had never done before at that scale. So just quickly realizing the reach, the accessibility for people in a virtual environment, which, you know, at this point, I think that a virtual element will always be part of any event program or you know, a future event that we have. I think having a virtual element and component of that is really important and helpful. Even if you do have in-person events that are part of that, or hybrid is our, you know, our new word. there's so much value in it. You can manage different time zones and reach an outreach that we just couldn't do before. So a lot of value in it, but certainly a lot more work in many ways.
Yep. So what does hybrid mean to you?
Hybrid to me is two events happening at one time, right? So there's an in-person component and a virtual component. I like to look at events though, decoupling that, right? So that there is an in-person, maybe there's a virtual component that has our key keynotes and some of our key content. And then maybe from there, a day later, a week later, following up with some in-person events that, are related to that hierarchy event. Having them at the same time can be challenging. You have two different audiences. So you really have to think of it as planning two different events, even if it's hybrid at the same time, or if they're decoupled and there's two separate events.
Right. I like the term decoupled, sort of like unconscious coupling, but
yeah,
you unconsciously coupled the events. I appreciate the distinction from the speaker trainer point of view, the distinction of it's a digital event and it's an in-person event. Yep. And because our job as speaker trainers becomes much harder when they're like, no, it's hybrid. We always ask, what does that mean to you? And because having those two audiences exactly at the same time is from a speaker point of view, from a delivery standpoint, difficult.
Yes.
Extremely, extremely difficult. Speaking of speakers, as it is my obsession and my gig, do you have any speaker disaster stories you might want to share?
Speaker disaster stories. I can't think of any offhand. I mean, I think the it's not a disaster. It's sort of the norm, but handing in a PowerPoint presentation seconds before you're going on or making changes.
What do you mean your speakers?
Have you ever heard that before?
No, every speaker we've ever worked with, it's so not true. Yes, very typical, which is why this hasn't happened for a while, but when I used to get on airplanes and travel, always inevitably somebody next to me is working on a deck and I'm like, are you speaking at a conference tomorrow? And they're like, no, this afternoon. How did you know?
Exactly. It happens everywhere. I've never been to an event where a physical event in particular, or even a virtual event, it's still happening, but where changes aren't being made on the fly.
Sure. And people are like running around with like USB.
Yes, exactly.
Where are we going?
It's not downloading, the file's too big, All of those are the disasters.
So other than not making last minute changes, is there another like secret wish that things that you wish speakers did?
Yeah, rehearsed.
Oh, tell me more. I can't imagine. I've never thought of this before, but tell me more, please.
Engaging people, whether it's virtual or in person, is very difficult to do if you're not seasoned at doing it, right? I mean, I'm preaching to the choir right now. Yeah. And as a director, just, using your body language and depending on the topic, it may not be something that people aren't always animated. And then when they get in front of a crowd, it's not as easy as it appears to be. So I can't stress enough rehearsing and doing dry runs as often as you can and in front of people. That would be my wish for speakers.
That is totally my, that is my wish every day for speakers. Absolutely. Just let's, how about we say it out loud, right? How about we get up on our feet? And if you don't, just walk around and say it out loud. That's what I do.
Exactly.
People in my neighborhood, if I've got something really big happening and I need to, a lot of times I'll take a walk in the morning and walk up and down my blocks, if you will, talking out loud. And some of the neighbors will be like, oh, you got a presentation later? Because they know what I'm doing. Or I'm just talking to myself and I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, big presentation.
That too, right.
Just working it out. It's okay. Wait, so how did we get here? Right. You went from being dancer, performer to a fairly sizable career in events. How did you get there?
Well, I did both at the same time. So I've always managed two careers. And, you know, they complement one each other. You know, there's a lot of similarities. And the theater aspect of it lets me, you know, work on my creative side a little bit more. And the event side, the corporate side, that strategic thinking and that business piece of it is something else I enjoy. So having both those careers has really, they've complemented one another and it's really helped me to really succeed, I guess, if you will.
What did you study in college? Did you study dance and
I studied finance and computers.
You're kidding. I did not know finance and computers.
Yeah. So I went to Babson. So they groom everyone to be entrepreneurs. And when I graduated, my dad had taken early retirement from his corporate job to open up a travel agency. So I actually helped him run the business because dad needed help. And so that's what you do. So 12, 14 years later, I transitioned into the corporate world, got my foot in the door. I started off as an executive assistant and quickly got into a marketing role that was events. It just seemed like a natural fit. And then really from there, I continued in that direction.
That is, that's amazing. And no wonder you have that like detail oriented, also creative visionary thing. It is, you are the quintessential perfect makeup for an event professional. And so many directors that, in fact, I've already interviewed two on this podcast, people that I worked with as directors who are now big deals also in the event industry. So that is not surprising. Not surprising is I'm not an event creator. I've never been a director. I've always been an actor. I've never been interested in being a director. It is just kind of like, I want to work on the delivery. So
yeah,
that's what made sense for me. Are you ready, Susan? To move in, switch gears one more time.
Okay.
And move into our lightning express round.
Oh no. Okay.
All right. I
have to think on my feet.
Don't be scared. Yes. Perhaps you want to stand for that. No, just kidding. Relax. You're fine. All right. We're going to put 45 seconds on the clock and I'm going to ask you seven questions. Are you ready?
Oh my
goodness.
Seven
questions.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
What is your favorite moment in the event process?
When the event happens, that all the pieces come together.
Love it. Who do you consider your mentor?
My dad.
Oh, yeah.
I learned a lot of business things from him.
Amazing. Favorite choreography gig that you've had?
Oh, I love the big old musicals. But I will say a flash mob at the Copley Center for that was really geared towards the marathon bombing survivors.
I totally remember that. Yep.
Yeah, that was probably one of the most rewarding choreography experiences I ever had.
Yeah, I think I was like 8 months pregnant and couldn't join you at the time. But yes, that is okay. Yes. What do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
I exercise, elliptical, treadmill, walk.
Nice. Talk to yourself like me? No.
All the time.
Okay. That was not one of the questions. Okay. What do you, if you were not talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
Dancing.
Oh yeah. Of course. Of course you would. Which one of my sister-in-laws is your favorite?
Oh, I could never say. They're all
don't
so
just
great.
Say it. They're not going to listen to this. Don't worry.
Amy, Lisa, and Megan.
Okay. That's all of that. I actually have one on my brother's side. So, okay. Never mind. It's fine. Okay. Last question. What's the best way to take care of an event professional in your life?
Say that again.
What is the best way we can take care of an event professional in our lives?
Make them meditate and make them step away from the situation and take a deep breath. Breathe. Yes. Breathe.
Yeah. Shockingly, that's said to me a lot too. Look at how crazy my hair is. Okay. Congratulations, Susan. Made it through.
Yay,
the
thank
Lightning
you.
Round Express. Also, there's not really a clock, so don't worry about it.
Good for you. Tell me.
Where, my friend, can people find you if they wanted to connect with you, perhaps?
LinkedIn. Where else?
LinkedIn. Would you kindly... I was going to say spell your last name, but don't worry. It's because it's going to be it's going to be on the thing in the notes. It'll be on your face. So we're not going to worry about it. I'm just not going to say it out loud again. Anything else, final thoughts you'd like to leave our Speaking of Events audience with?
We're in an ever-changing environment. It will continue to be that way. Just always think about your contingency plans, be adaptable. And we're in a very agile environment. And I think we're going to be that way for a while.
I agree with that. Contingency plans is right.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you.
For
thank
your
you.
Time.
This was fun.
This was super fun. And thank you to the audience for listening. Connect with Susan. And if you like events, if you love events, even if you loathe events, tell someone about this podcast and also rate it on your favorite podcast app, please. Lots of stars. And finally, remember, whatever you are speaking about, remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovation.